Good evening. It's great to be with you in the house of the Lord this afternoon. We are going to continue our study in the book of Philippians, and today we will complete chapter 2. So there's four chapters in the book of Philippians. So chapter-wise we are halfway, and verse-wise we are well over. I'm halfway through this epistle. The text that we are going to consider is from verse 25 down to verse 30. And it's from here where we will take the reading. Philippians chapter 2, and we'll commence reading at verse 25. Hear the word of the Lord. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labour and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. The title for the sermon this afternoon is All In for Christ. Now let's open in a word of prayer. Father, I do thank you that we can meet in this very simple way to worship you. I thank you now for the opportunity that I have to open your word. I do pray that you help me to speak clearly this afternoon. Lord, I do pray that you would grant us the gift of illumination this evening and give us the grace to apply the truths found within this text. I do ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I don't know about you, but when you read and study the scriptures and you consider some of the giants of the faith, say like David, Moses, Abraham, Daniel, or Paul, do you ever feel somewhat intimidated and think to yourself, I can never be like these guys. I'm just an ordinary person living an ordinary life. And perhaps we struggle to relate and then to learn from the examples of these spiritual giants. Because we think to ourselves, hey, I am never going to be like that. They are way out of my league. They are in A grade and I'm struggling in D grade. I'm not David. I'm not Paul. Have you ever had those thoughts? Now, these particular thoughts are not necessarily correct. But nevertheless, it's easy to think like this, isn't it? It can be challenging to relate, and their examples can seem somewhat unattainable. But before us this evening is an example of a man who we would not regard as a spiritual giant. We know very little about this particular individual, but it seems that he was not a famous preacher, teacher, or noted leader. He doesn't possess any great talents or abilities. He's just an ordinary man, sacrificially serving Christ in the local church. No fame, no prominence, just faithfulness. As before mentioned, we know very little about this man named Epaphroditus in the text before us. We do know that his name means lovely or charming, and he was named after the pagan goddess of love, Epaphrodite. He's not to be confused with Epaphras, who we find in the book of Colossians. They are different men. And apart from the text before us, Epaphroditus is only mentioned in one other place in the New Testament, and that is in the book of Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 18. In the verses before us, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives to us a fivefold description revealing the character of this man. This description is found in verse 25. And when this is studied, it paints to us a picture of a faithful, sacrificial servant of Christ. And although this fivefold description would be a beneficial study, it's not here where I wish to devote our time. But I wish to rather consider the actual sacrificial service of this man. For it's here within his practical service where I feel there is some very helpful and encouraging lessons to be learnt and applied to our own Christian lives that will help us to serve Christ more sacrificially, faithfully, and effectively. I wish to consider this example of service under three headings. And here they are: the character of the service, the challenges while serving, and the commitments to serving. So first, let's consider the character of the service. Read with me again, if you would, verse 25, which says, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants." We see before us that the Apostle Paul is going to send Epaphroditus back to Philippi. In fact, most believe that it was this man who was responsible to bring this very epistle back to the believers. He was the postman or the courier of this letter that we now possess in our New Testament. But the question that we must ask is, why was Epaphroditus in Rome? Why was he with the imprisoned Apostle Paul? What was he doing there? The last phrase of verse 25 helps us with this. It says, "But your messenger and he that ministered to my wants." Epaphroditus is here described as a messenger. The Greek word here is apostolos, where we get our English word apostle. But as it's used in this sense here, it does not speak of the office of apostle, like the Apostle Paul, but rather simply a messenger of the church. This man was sent forth or commissioned by the church to perform a specific task. The specific assignment that he was given was to minister to the imprisoned apostle. This word minister that we find here is a very broad term. It can have many meanings and many applications. It was used by ancient Greeks to describe a public official who would diligently perform a task, and the duties that he performed would be performed at his own expense. And perhaps this explains Epaphroditus. He undertook this mission diligently out of his own pocket. This word was also used in the sacrificial system to speak of the priest's duties on behalf of the people. And maybe this is also appropriate. As the priest represented the people, so Epaphroditus represented the saints at Philippi. Although these possible definitions may shed some light on this term, I think the best way to interpret this verse is in the most general sense. He was sent to meet the needs of Paul, to serve and to help wherever he could. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18 sheds some light as to what this entails. So turn over a page or two with me to Philippians 4, and we'll read verse 18. Verse 18 says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Within this verse, we are informed that Epaphroditus was the deliverer of an offering that had been taken up by the church at Philippi in order to help Paul during his time in prison. In order for us to understand the purpose of this offering, we must remember that in the Roman society, prisoners were not cared for by the state like they are today. But the necessities of life, especially food, had to be supplied by family, friends, and relatives. And this is one of the primary purposes of this particular offering being taken up. It was to provide the necessities of life while the apostle could not provide for himself. And it was the task of Epaphroditus to deliver this particular offering and to provide whatever practical help and encouragement that he could. Now, I don't want us to miss the courage and commitment of this man in undertaking this particular task and the potential danger that he faced. And it's very easy to miss this. We must understand that this journey to Rome was a very long trip. Depending on whether one sailed or went by land, the distance varied. But this journey is at least 1,300 kilometres. And this is quite a journey without our modern means of transportation, isn't it? And then when you throw into the equation that he would be carrying a sum of money, he was carrying the offering that was taken, plus his own money for his survival, then this means this journey has a potential danger. And the courage of this man is further highlighted by the fact that he identified with Paul. Now, Paul was under house arrest, and he did have quite a lot of freedom as far as prisoners go. But we must understand that this could change overnight. If Caesar decided that Paul was now a threat, Paul's life would be taken, and anyone that was associating with Paul would be in danger, especially those who were in the house with him, which would include the man we are considering. So this decision to undertake this journey and minister to the needs of the apostle is a striking example of what it looks like to serve selflessly, courageously, and sacrificially. But what it is that I wish to draw your attention to is the type of service. Epaphroditus didn't go to preach and teach, nor did he go to evangelize, to be a missionary, or to hold gospel meetings. He didn't do any of these things, but rather he went to meet the needs of another. He went and served in a way that many would consider insignificant. But this, my friend, could not be further from the truth. There are so many ways to serve Christ. Many ways to be actively involved in a local body. One does not have to be a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a preacher, a teacher in order to serve Christ effectively. There are countless other practical ways we can serve just like Epaphroditus. And these are in no way inferior to any other means of serving Christ. Helping in practical ways, whether it's in direct relation to a church activity or function, or helping other believers outside of church, is of vital importance. For without these practical ministries, ministry would not run. And did you realize that helping in practical ways is actually a spiritual gift? Did you know that? Now, it's probably the gift that is the most common, and yet probably wanted the least and neglected the most. But it is a spiritual gift. Both 1 Corinthians 12:28 uses the word help, and it's also listed in Romans 12:7. In the KJV, it's translated minister. And like all spiritual gifts, it is needed for a healthy local body. So the text before us reveals that Epaphroditus ministered in a very practical way, exercising the spiritual gift of helps. And I wish to encourage all those who minister within our local body with the gift of helps to keep up the great work. Those who are involved in the setup and pack up, supplying the food, cleaning the kitchen, the creche ministry, the music ministry. And for those who do other things behind the scenes that no one else sees, and all of the other varying ministries, you play a very important part in this local church. And many saints using the gift of helps is integral to having a vibrant, growing church. It can't happen without it. And may we be careful as a local assembly to never underestimate the importance of helping in practical ways. And remember that this is in no way inferior to any other spiritual gift. So we've seen the character of the serving. Secondly, let's consider the challenges while serving. Read with me, if you would, in verse 27. Which says, "For indeed, he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." The topic of God and suffering is one that often evokes much conversation, both for believers and unbelievers, isn't it? We as human beings often wrestle with this particular topic. Unbelievers thinking that this is their crowning argument to prove that there is no God. And believers struggle to understand how their God could allow certain things to happen. But we as believers must realize that nowhere in the Bible does God promise that you and I, as Christians, will live a life free from suffering. In fact, the opposite is promised. Now, even those who serve Christ faithfully are not immune from trials and suffering. And it's this that is seen very clearly in the text before us. Epaphroditus has sacrificed much in order to make this long journey to Rome, to help the apostle in his great time of need. Now, clearly, this man was serving Christ. In our modern vernacular, we would say he is doing God's will. And yet he struck down with a serious illness. We're given no details as to what this particular illness was. The only clue is in verse 30, which tends to hint at a fatigue-related illness. But despite the particulars being minimal, we know that this was a very serious illness. Now, this was not just the typical cold and flu or the latest vomiting bug sweeping through Rome. But this illness had Epaphroditus knocking on death's door. In fact, the way that this sentence is structured within the Greek tells us that if it wasn't for God's intervening hand, then this man would have died. Such is the extent of his sickness. Before I come back to this, consider with me for a moment the healing of Epaphroditus. The apostle in verse 27 credits this healing to the mercy of God. Mercy speaking of undeserved kindness. And of course, this healing of a life-threatening illness is mercy, because every human being deserves to die since we are sinners. So God, in sparing this man, shows great mercy to him physically. But this was also mercy because it spared Paul of more personal grief. That's what it means in the second part of verse 27. So this is a show of mercy on two fronts. And in light of this healing, I wish to draw your attention to two things. So number one, it's very interesting that the Apostle Paul did not use the gift of healing that he possessed as one of the apostles. Now, both here and in the book of 1 Timothy, where he recommends that Timothy have a little wine for his upset tummy, and also another in 2 Timothy, Paul does not heal. Now, why would that be? Could this be an indication that the era of the apostolic sign gifts was nearly over? And I'll leave that thought with you. The second thing I'd like to say is that within this healing, we get a glimpse of the loving care and compassion of our God, don't we? And that he looked down and had compassion on these two men. I don't know about you, but it's such a comforting thought to know that the heart of our God is filled with mercy, with loving kindness and active pity. And we could go to scripture after scripture that teaches these attributes of God. The fact that he cares and has compassion upon his people, including you and me, even when we suffer. But it's not so much the healing that I wish to draw your attention to, but rather the fact that this faithful man of God got sick. He faced challenges. Despite Epaphroditus sacrificially serving, he was not immune from suffering. In fact, this man nearly died. And this teaches us that we will suffer. We will face trials when we serve Christ. You and I must understand this. Serving Christ is not an easy road. We will face difficulties. We do not possess immunity from suffering just because we live for Christ. The challenges we face will vary from individual to individual, but nevertheless, they will be a reality. We must not live in this daydream land that thinks if we serve Christ faithfully, then life will be easy, because that is not true. So we've seen the character of the serving, the challenges of serving, and thirdly, let's consider the commitment to serving. And we see this in verse 30. It says, "Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me." Now, we live in a society where commitment to things that matter is a dying quality, don't we? Now, sure, commitment is still observable. Just look at the packed sporting arenas, no matter the weather. But commitment where it matters is often lacking. Look at the divorce statistics within our country. This in many cases showing a lack of commitment. Employment statistics show that we are changing jobs like never before. Often, but not always, revealing a lack of commitment. A contract is not worth the paper that it's written on anymore. If you follow sports, you witness this all the time. A player will sign a deal to move clubs, and then he changes his mind. The contract means nothing, and this is acceptable. We live in a society that lacks commitment. And unfortunately, how often and how easily this attitude of lacking commitment can infiltrate our attitude in serving Christ. Allow me to ask you a question, a direct question. How would you describe your commitment to Christ? Think about that. Be honest with yourself. How committed are you? Having answered that question in our minds, let's consider the example before us and see how we compare. We're told in verse 30 that for the work of Christ, Epaphroditus was nigh unto death, not regarding his life. Did you see in the first phrase how his ministry was described? It was called the work of Christ. His serving in these very practical ways is identified as work for Christ. And this reiterates and stresses what we discussed in the first point, that one does not have to preach or teach in order to serve Christ. But when we serve in these very practical ways, we are involved in the work of Christ. Consider with me the great commitment described before us. Because of his faithful service, this man was nigh unto death. He risked his own life, or he pushed himself so hard, almost to the point of death. He expended himself completely for the cause of Christ. He did not regard his own life. He was willing to give this up for the cause of Christ. The phrase we find here, "not regarding his life," is actually a gambling term in the Greek language, and it meant to risk everything on the roll of the dice. In our modern gambling vernacular, not that I'm an expert, but this speaks of being all in. Think of a poker game. You push all your chips in. And Epaphroditus was all in for Christ. He was willing to risk everything for the cause of Christ, no matter what the potential cost may be. He was completely committed. Now, we must understand that this portion of Scripture is not calling us to be deliberately involved in activities that present a danger to our lives. Now, it's not saying that we are inferior believers if we do not push ourselves to near physical death each day for Christ. That's not what it's saying. But this striking example before us forces us to turn the spotlight upon ourselves and honestly ask, how committed are we to Christ? Do we possess a true commitment to serve Him? What are we willing to forsake or give up for the cause of Christ? Time, money, resources, prestige, comforts? Consider your own life. Consider your own service for Christ. How committed are you? Are you all in for Christ, or are you half-hearted, or perhaps even worse? The hymn writer said, I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? Christ gave of his all for you and for me. Are we giving our all to him? Are you? Am I? Are we all in for Christ? Amen. Let us pray.